Whenever the word gospel came to our mind, one of the most famous things that also come to our mind is the forgiveness of sins. In the gospel, we are assured, we are comforted that there is forgiveness of sins. There will be no condemnation on those who are in Jesus Christ. And another word is eternal life. Eternal life is what is promised in the gospel. But as we think of forgiveness of sins, eternal life, many times, and I would say unfortunately, we only think of avoiding punishment. That we will not be punished. We will not go to the eternal hell, lake of fire. And it's true. It's true that there will be no punishment. There is no condemnation on those who are in Jesus Christ. But this is not the final goal of the gospel. It's truly part of the gospel. But the gospel is more than that. It's not just about avoiding punishment. It's not just going to heaven instead of hell. The most important thing in the gospel, the eternal life, is to know God, to be in fellowship with Him, to be restored in this relationship with Him, to live with Him forever. This is how John defined eternal life in the Gospel of John. And this is eternal life, that they may know the Father and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. And this is what the gospel is taking us to. If we only think of the forgiveness of sins, if we only think of just avoiding punishment, most of the time when we think of the gospel, we only think of the cross. Because on the cross, Christ bore our punishment, bore the wrath of God. It's true. But this is not the whole message of the gospel. The gospel is not just Christ died for our sins. To say the gospel completely, you would say, He died for our sins, and He rose again in the third day. See how Paul is defining the gospel. Whenever you ask yourself this question, or whenever someone asks you this question, what is the gospel? Do not try to invent something. It's quite clear in the scripture. Quite clear. Paul is defining the gospel. See what he's saying in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the gospel that I preached to you. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And when he defines the gospel in simple words, this is what he says in verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scripture. He died for our sins, and He rose again. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. The resurrection from the dead, according to Paul, is essential to the message of the gospel. And it's interesting, Paul is saying, He died according to the scripture, and He rose again according to the scripture. He's not just saying He rose again. He rose again in the third day according to the scripture. Paul is telling us this is not a new message that I'm bringing in the New Testament. The same gospel that saves us today is the gospel that has been promised thousands of years since Genesis 3:15. And again and again, God is promising the gospel. The Old Testament is full of promises. It's all about Christ. It's all about the gospel. That He will die and He will rise again according to the scriptures. But interestingly, He's not just saying that He will die according to the scripture and He will rise again according to the scripture. He's saying that He rose again the third day according to the scripture. And Jesus Himself said the same message or the same meaning when he met the two disciples after his resurrection, the two disciples of Emmaus in Luke 24. This is what Christ said. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So we have Paul and Jesus himself, they are affirming that the scripture, the Old Testament, predicted the death of Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And not only the resurrection from the dead, in the third day. You may say, this is hard. It's hard to find a text in the Old Testament speaking of the resurrection of Christ in the third day. It's easier for us to find texts about the death of Christ. But the resurrection and in the third day? Well, yes, the Old Testament is full of prophecies about the death and the resurrection. We just sang the words of Psalm 16, which clearly predicts the resurrection from the dead. That's what the apostles use. But Psalm 16 didn't mention the third day. Where did the Old Testament speak of the resurrection in the third day? Well, we may have some stories that speaks about that. The story of Jonah, right? I think all the children would remember the story of Jonah. Very famous story, being in the belly of the fish. For how many days? 3 days. And then he came out of the fish. And Christ himself said, as Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, thus will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, we have a glimpse of the resurrection in the story of Jonah. But I think a clearer text that speaks about the resurrection from the dead is what we read earlier. Hosea chapter 6. So let's turn back to Hosea 5 and Hosea 6. In Hosea 6, this is what it says in verse 2. And after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. And the question is, was Hosea predicting the resurrection of Christ as he was talking, as he was saying these words? How would such prediction, how would just prophecy be relevant to the people who received these words of Hosea hundreds of years before the coming of Christ? How would these words be relevant to them? And in order to answer these questions, I'll have three main points to meditate on them with you tonight. First, the death and the resurrection of Israel. The death and the resurrection of Israel. Second, Israel and Christ. And third, Christ and the Christians. The death and the resurrection of Israel. Israel and Christ. And the death and the resurrection. Oh, sorry, the Christ and the Christians. First of all, death and resurrection for Israel. In these chapters, Hosea was prophesying to Israel about the expulsion from God's presence, about the exile that will take place because of their sin. And if you read the Old Testament, you would know from the book of Deuteronomy clearly that the worst thing, the worst punishment that could ever happen to the people of Israel is to go to the exile, is to be expelled from Canaan, from the land of God. Moses himself told them, if you do not obey, if you continue in disobedience, other nations, evil nations, will come and take you out of the land. The temple will be destroyed. You will not have this enjoyment and joy of being in God's land, in God's presence. You will not be able to worship. The temple will be destroyed. No more sacrifices. No priesthood. This would be the worst punishment that could ever happen to the people of Israel. And as Hosea was warning the people of Israel. This is what was happening at that time. The Lord has been warning them, sending a lot of warnings, sending other nations, being under, losing some battles. Yet they were not fully gone to the exile. And what did Israel do? Instead of repenting so that the exile may not happen, they continued in their sins. Not only continued in their sins, not only stayed in the rebellion, they worshipped other gods. They even sought help from other nations. See what Hosea is saying in Hosea 5. What did they do? In verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, they saw that they are in trouble. And what did they do? They did not run to the Lord. Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian. They went to the enemies and sent to King Jareb to find healing, to find satisfaction, to solve their needs. When I read this, it reminded me of people even now living in sin. And instead of coming back to the Lord, because sin is hard. Sin brings misery. It may have some enjoyment, but it brings misery. And people may stay in sin, and instead of repenting to stop this misery, they start to try to please themselves and find joy and satisfaction with the Assyrian king. In today's world, they would run to drugs to stop their misery. Seek bad relationships. Sink in pornography. And instead of coming to the Lord, they run to the enemy. This is what Israel was doing. And this is what the Lord is saying that will do to them. Verse 14, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion." Not to protect Ephraim. "And as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away." The picture that Hosea is bringing here is frightful. God is a lion, and Israel is a prey, trying to run away from him, trying to seek help from other people. And he's saying, no one can help you. No one will be able to save you from me if you continue to on your sin. I will devour you. You'll be slain. What a picture. They think that they can save themselves by going to the Assyrian king, by paying tributes to the Assyrians, by being obedient to the Assyrians, by being an ally with the Assyrians. And the Lord is saying, no one can save you from me. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. The picture is fearful. And God is talking about the exile. This will be the exile. As if they were slain by a lion. And if you read historically speaking, about the stories of the exile, about what did it mean for the Assyrians or the Babylonians to come to a nation and take them to the exile, it's a fearful image. Something you would be afraid just to read. Exile is death. Death. Being eaten by the lion. Being expelled from the presence of God. The exile was the death of Israel. And this connection between the death and exile can be seen all over the scripture. From the very beginning, that exile is death. Exile as being devoured. Exile as being away from life. From the story of the garden. From the fall. What did God say to Adam and Eve? The day you will eat from this tree, you shall surely die. And we know what happened when they ate. They were expelled from the face of the Lord. Out of the garden. The first exile ever. And since then, all the sons of Adam are in the exile, outside of the presence of God. So from the beginning, the exile and death are kind of used interchangeably. To be outside the presence of God is death. One of the most famous prophecies about being in the exile is Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, we read about the famous prophecy about these dead bones, right? Ezekiel is describing the vision he saw. Israel in the exile are dead bones. They need a miracle to return from the exile. I wonder if I've ever seen a dead person, just bones. You know, in Egypt we have the Egyptian Museum, and if you come to the Egyptian Museum, there's a special room for the mummies. And you go and see some places where they put the mummies in glass so that you can see the mummy of Ramses II and other famous pharaohs. And you look at this person, some bones, dead bones. And the scripture is telling us being in the exile is being like this, dead bones, no life, deadness. One day, Christ called someone to follow him, follow me. And he said, well, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus answered very interesting answer. Let the dead bury their dead ones. To be dead spiritually, to be in the exile, doesn't mean necessarily you are only a bunch of bones now. You may be walking in the streets of Grand Rapids, but you are dead. You may see people going to the grocery stores, driving cars, getting married, working, enjoying their lives. They are dead. Dead in their trespasses and sin. They are in the exile. And this was Israel. Israel was in the exile. Because of sin, they are outside the presence of God. So if the exile is death, then what is restoration? A resurrection from the dead. To be restored again to the presence of God. To be brought again to God's land. In God's presence. With God's people. Is a resurrection from the dead. And this is what is promised in Hosea 6. See now Hosea, what Hosea is saying in verse 2. Hosea 6 verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. Those who have been slain by the lion will be revived. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea is describing the return from exile as resurrection. And not only Hosea, also Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 37, as he was talking about this valley of the dead bones, and he told Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, prophesy. Would these bones rise? And Ezekiel said, oh Lord, I do not know, you know. But see what the text says in Ezekiel 37, 11 and 12. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. The Lord is telling them, I will raise them up again. Which means I'll bring them back to the land of Israel. I'll bring them back to my presence. So for Israel, the death and resurrection, to die is to go to the exile. To be expelled from the presence of God. This is what it means to be in the exile. Away from the land of God. Away from the temple. And to be restored is a resurrection from the dead. But now comes the question. How can we understand this prophecy in Hosea 6:2 or in Ezekiel 37 as a prophecy related to what we are remembering today and what we remember every Lord's Day, the resurrection of Christ? How can we make this connection? Can we legitimately make this connection between what is happening in Hosea and the resurrection of Christ? Well, usually when we think of prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament, usually we think of the direct prophecies. We think of Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Clear prophecy, he will come from a virgin. We think of Micah 5:2, "Bethlehem, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," that is, to be a ruler of Israel. And he is born in Bethlehem. Direct prophecy. We think of Zechariah 9:9, what we heard last week. "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Clear prophecy about Christ. But we do not only see Christ in these direct prophecies in the Old Testament. The Old Testament shows us Christ in what we call types, shadows. I'll give you an example. As you read the book of Exodus, you read about the Passover lamb. And if I ask maybe every one of you tonight, who is this Passover lamb? What was he referring to? You will tell me, Christ, he's our Passover lamb. If you read further in the book of Exodus, you'll see the rock from which the water comes so that Israel may drink. And if I ask you, who is the rock? You'll tell me, Christ is the rock. He's the source of the living water. He's the manna. When we read about the Passover lamb, about the rock, about the manna, we read about types, shadows of Christ, pointing us to Christ. We see Christ in these things. And the same applies in Hosea. Hosea is showing us Christ as the true Israel. Yes, we read about Israel in Hosea, but it's not just Israel. It's Christ. I'll give you a clear example, famous example from Hosea 11. In Hosea 11, verse 1. "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." If I ask you tonight, who's Hosea talking about here? He's talking about Israel. Israel is God's son. And God called Israel out of Egypt. Hosea is describing what the Lord has done with Israel in the story of the Exodus. But when we go to the New Testament, we see Matthew applying this same verse. He's saying Christ went to Egypt, escaping Herod, avoiding a massacre, so that it may be fulfilled what is written by the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And he used this text from Hosea 11. What is Matthew doing? He's telling us Christ is the true Israel. And if you read the Gospel of Matthew, if you go further with the Gospel of Matthew, you will see the story of Israel is being repeated again in the life of Christ. Israel went to Egypt, and they came out of Egypt when a king, an evil king, was killed, Pharaoh. And Christ is in Egypt, and he will come out of Egypt when an evil king will die, Herod. And when Israel came out of Egypt, they went through the sea. And Christ, after Matthew telling us about the story of coming out of Egypt, he says, Christ is going to be baptized. He's baptized in the river of Jordan. Israel is baptized in the Red Sea, and Christ is baptized in the land of Jordan. Israel is being tempted for 40 years, and the true Israel, Jesus Christ, is being tempted for 40 days. Israel failed. Christ succeeded. He's the true Israel. Now, if we apply this type that Israel is a type of Christ, how can we read Hosea 6? How can we read Hosea 5? What happened to Christ? Christ came to our exile. He went to the exile to come here on our land in this sinful world, is to go to the exile. Christ came to the exile, and not only came to the exile, he went to the deepest point of the exile. He went to the cross. That he cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He experienced the expulsion from God's presence. He's the true Israel who experienced the exile for Israel. He's the one who was slain by the lion. The one who knew no sin became sin. But he did not just stay on the cross. He did not just die. He rose again. He rose again. In the third day, he rose again. And so when we read Hosea 6, and we read about this resurrection that Hosea is speaking about, we are reading about the true Israel who went to the exile and who was revived again, who was raised again on the third day. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. The story of the exile was not just about Israel. And the story of the restoration from the exile was not just about Israel. It was about Christ. Christ went to the exile. He experienced the exile. But he returned back from the exile. Not alone. As he returned back, he was not alone. All those who are in Christ, the people of God, the promises that have been given to Israel is being fulfilled in him. So when he returned from the exile, he did not return alone. He was united with his people in the exile, died their death, and as he returned back, he took those who are united with him and brought them back to the presence of God. This is the restoration. Only Christ could have done this. Only him who would be able to go to the exile, suffer it, drink the cup to the last point, to the last drop, and to rise again and bring his people again with him. This is the relation between Israel and Christ. So this story does not only concern Israel in Hosea 6, it concerns Christ as well. But is it just about Christ and Israel? Or it is related to us also? And so now we go to Christ and the Christians. This story of the exile is not the story of Israel alone. We are not just reading the history of Israel as we read the story of the exile. We are not just reading the family from which Christ has come. It's our story. All mankind, as we said, since the fall, are in the exile. Every person that you meet who is not in Christ is in the exile right now, which means expelled from the presence of God. We are born expelled from his presence. And Christ took our humanity. He took it upon himself. Came to our death, so that he may bring us back to dwell with God in the Holy of Holies. The Apostle John, in the Gospel of John, is is describing this story of coming to us and bringing us back to God's presence beautifully in his gospel. He begins his gospel this way: the Word was God. The Word was with God. He was in the bosom of the Father. Everything was made with him. This word became flesh. In verse 14, John 1:14, he became flesh. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. Sometimes we just read this verse, John 1:14. Well, normally, as we remember maybe the Christmas time, God became man. Do you fathom what does it mean for God to become a man, to come to our world? The one who lived in total holiness, the Holy One, the one before whom the angels would cover their face, the sinless angels would cover his face, would cover their face. He became to live in this sinful world, to live in our streets, to listen to our filthy words, to see our filthy actions, to see our thoughts, to be among us, and to bear our sins, and to die this death, this cursed death on the cross. This is what it means for the Word to become flesh. So in John 1, he's saying the Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In verse 18, he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And he came from this place, from the bosom of the Father, so that he may bring us to this place, to the bosom of the Father. He's not just coming to die for our sins. He came to die our sins and to bring us back to the presence of God. So in John 1, he's saying he came. And just before he died, this is what he says as he prays: Father, I will that thee also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be with me. This is what he came for. He came to our exile to bring us back to the presence of God. So this is what John is bringing in John 1. And then in John 2, he's telling us this story of the temple that we read earlier. How are we going to return with him to the presence of God? He will destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. When he said this to the Jews, they did not understand. How can you destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? He was talking about his own body. He is the temple. In 3 days. If we remember Israel, what happened in Israel in the exile? The temple was destroyed. And Christ is saying, my body will be broken, will be destroyed. This is what happens in the exile. But this temple that is destroyed will be built again in 3 days. In 3 days, he will rise again. He's the temple. And what is the temple? It's the place where we meet God, where we come to his presence. And Christ saying, you will come back to the presence of God in my risen body. I went to the exile and came back. And all those who will come to my body will come to God's presence, will come to the temple again. This is what John is saying. He is the temple. He is the place where we will come again to the presence of God. Because he went to the exile for us. And he came back from the exile for us. You may ask, or someone may say, well, he died 2,000 years ago. His body was broken 2,000 years ago. And he rose again 2,000 years ago. How can someone who died thousands of miles from here, in Palestine, 2,000 years ago, may relate to someone who lives here in Grand Rapids in 2022. How can I come to this presence of God to be in this temple? He sent His Spirit so that you may come to this temple. This is what He has done. I will raise you up to join me by my Spirit. And we all know what happened after Christ died, rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven. And then what? He sent the Spirit so that He may gather people from every tongue, nation, to come to this temple, to bring them back from the exile. And think of the role of the Spirit, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, we read in John 1, He was in the bosom of the Father. He came to us. He is the temple who will die and rise again. And then in chapter 3, He sung with Nicodemus about the Spirit who will give a new birth, who will give resurrection. And when we read in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, as he is talking about these dead bones being in the exiles, being dead, how these bones were going to rise again? The Spirit. The Spirit that the Son of God, the true Israel, will send, will give life, so that we may join Him in the presence of God. This is how the death and the resurrection of Christ brings us back to God's presence. He came to our exile, and He returned back to the presence of God. And He sent His Spirit so that we may join Him again to the presence of God. And every time we come to worship in the Lord's Day, we are joining Christ. We are in Christ, in the heavenly places, through the Spirit. We know that we are in the presence of God, welcomed by Him. Although we are living in this world, but as Paul is saying in Ephesians 2, we have been risen with Christ. We are seated in the right hand with God, in Christ, even as we live here, because what He has done for us. So, as I close, putting all these in mind, I have three quick messages that I would love to leave with you. First of all, maybe you only come to the church in Easter season or in Christmas season. You think, I may need to go to the church on this time. Or you may be here attending Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day with the family because you are used to do this. Yet, you are still in the exile. You are not in the presence of God. Maybe other believers are talking about their enjoyment of God's presence, but you don't feel it. You don't see it. You don't think that you are in the heavenly places. A dead bone. And Hosea is painting God in terrifying image in this text. God is a lion that you cannot escape. You may think no one sees it. No one knows that I'm just faking it. That I'm just here because of my family. I'm just here and no one knows what's going on in my heart. He knows. You may be trying to find help in other places like Israel, in Assyria, in Babylon, trying to satisfy yourself in all these false gods. He sees, He knows. And he's a lion. He tears prideful people who do not turn to the Lord. He will tear them to destroy them. If this is you, if what I just said describes you, the gospel is saying Christ is risen. Christ came to us in our exile, and he rose again. And because he died and rose again, he is calling us today, to run to this lion, not to run from him. Run to him so that he may tear your heart with repentance and remorse and redemption. Because of the smitten Christ, the one who was slain but rose again and conquered sin and death and Satan, we can run to the lion, not from the lion. Listen what Hosea himself is saying in Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. There is a way in the risen Christ. But if I insist to run from the lion, if I try to find, to seek other saviors or comforts, if I raise myself justifying excuses, try to hide in the crowd, no one knows what's going on in my heart, the lion will come nonetheless. He will come. He will tear with his claws to pieces in anger forever. But there is a place now to return to the Lord. Christ is the resurrection and life, and whoever believes in him will live, will be raised from the dead. Even if he dies, he will live again. Today, if you believe in this risen Christ, if you hide in this risen Christ, you have joined the temple. You came to the presence of God. Run to the lion, not from the lion. Ask him to grant you repentance. This is the first message. Second message. If you have believed in Christ, if you have returned to Christ, do you have this sense of gratitude to what Christ has done for you? Do you know what does it mean for you to come every week, close your eyes, and pray, "My Father who's in heaven"? What a privilege. What a privilege to be here among God's people. This is what David understood. One day, a housekeeper in the house of my God is better than thousands of days in the tents of the wickedness. Do we have this sense of gratitude? Do we understand what God has done for us? We who were dead in trespass and sin, no one in us, no one here was not born in the exile. None of us. But the Lord, who is rich in mercy, with the great love he loved us with, He brings us to life. He brought us again to the presence of God. Do we understand this? What a privilege and a joy to be in God's presence and together with his people. There is no greater privilege that you would ever have than being in the presence of God. Nothing is more beautiful or greater than this. Ponder anew today in this risen Christ who came to your death, to your exile, and brought you back. to the presence of God. Not because anything that you have done or anything that you could ever do. Every one of us here is in the presence of God by the Spirit because of Christ. And finally, being a Christian now, being in Christ, means that our citizenship is in heaven. Our life is hidden in Christ. And where is Christ? Christ is in heaven. He rose again and he returned to the presence of God. And if you are in Christ, this is where you are. This is your citizenship. Yes, we live in this earth now, but we are waiting eagerly to have this full experience of fellowship with God forever. So we are waiting for this Savior to come again. Our current blessings, what we experience now, the peace we have, the joy that we have, the communion of saints that we have, it's a pledge of the blessings that we'll enjoy forever in the presence of God. The consummation of our salvation, which will happen when we'll be risen literally, physically, as He was risen. Because He is risen physically, bodily resurrection, we will rise. And we are longing forward to this day. This life, with all the blessings that we have, being in Christ, being in the heavenly places, we are still waiting for the consummation. We are still struggling with sin. Satan is attacking us. We are struggling with our selfishness and pride. We have this tension in our hearts. So we are longing forward to this day. And this is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In heaven or in earth as it is in heaven. We are longing forward to this day when the heaven comes on earth. When we experience this presence fully on this earth. Now we are by faith gathering with the saints in the heavenly places. But we long when one day it will be on this earth. We are waiting to this day, O Lord. And as we wait to this day, we live seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Those who are in Christ, they live as Christians. We set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Our citizenship is not here, but in the one who rose again, and now is in the presence of God. Don't live as those who are in the exile. People around us are in the exile. Don't live as one who is in the exile, but as one who has been restored from the exile in Christ. And the Spirit of the risen Christ, the Spirit of the risen Christ is in us. And the risen Christ is working in us to prepare us for this day where we will be in the presence of God with no hindrance, with no obstacles. Amen.